Welcome to One to Another with Dr. Pete Pavelic on today's edition of One to Another.
Think about how you are parenting your children, right? You're not just showing them the best path. You're also saying, don't go on that one because I went on that one. That one's not good. I've been there. Now, they may not listen to you, but you're trying to keep them off the bad path, aren't you? Because a good guide won't just put you on the right path. A good guide will keep you from going down the wrong path. And so that's what he's saying here. He says there's some you just got to keep off of. We've already talked about this a good bit in our series, so I'm not going to linger here long. But the reality is part of finding the right path is being able to have the wisdom to avoid the wrong ones. And our guide will help us do that if we'll listen to him.
What makes a good guide? Today you learn from Pastor Pete's message that a good guide leads you on a path that's safe, fruitful, and filled with wisdom. This is what the Lord desires to do for you in your life. He wants you to be guided and directed on the path towards life. Pastor Pete informs you that you've been given the Holy Spirit from the Lord so that you might stay on His right path. God's path leads to peace, joy, and life. Lean into your guide and listen to His instructions within your life. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Pete or help support this program, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Now let's join Pastor Pete in the book of John chapter 16 as he continues part two of his message, Listen to the Guide.
I got home, I'll never forget, walking in with that gallon of milk and telling Abby I had to go back and get the TV. She said, TV? I told you to get a gallon of milk. So I got the gallon of milk. And a flat screen TV. She said, a flat screen? Carried that thing in. She didn't yell at me. It wasn't a fight. But, you know, I could tell she was a little disappointed that I had swiped that credit card to get that flat screen TV. Y'all think that's bad? Another time, I went to buy some rabbit cages. This lady had these rabbit cages on sale on Facebook Marketplace. And I needed some more rabbit cages for some rabbits. So I said, I'm going to go. If I can get a good deal, I'm going to buy them from her. Abby said, okay, good. So I left the house. I came back. She said, did you get a good deal? And I said, nah, not really. She was really firm on the price. She didn't want to come down. I bought them anyway. It was a good enough deal. I said, didn't get a very good deal on those cages. But I think I got a good deal on the house. And she said, what? And I said, yeah, I told her we'd buy her house. And she said, you said what? And I said, I told her we'd buy her house. It's the house we've been praying for like 3 years. It's perfect for our family. We've been looking for a house for a long time. She said, you're kidding me. I said, no. She said, you can come look at it if you want, but we're going to buy her house. So we loaded up. We went over and looked at it, and she loved it. We still live there today. That's how we got our house. I went to buy a rabbit cage, and I bought a house instead. So that's what living with me is like, ladies. So just don't think Abby has it so great. The bottom line is we're not real good listeners, are we? We're easily distracted. We don't hold on to instruction very well. It's easy for us to get on a path we didn't intend to get on. It reminds me of scriptures like Isaiah 48:17 that says this. This is what the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel says. I am the Lord your God who teaches you for your benefit, who leads you in the way you should go. It's for your benefit. It's the way you should go. And then look at verse 18. If only you had paid attention. If only you had listened, he said, to my commands, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been as countless as the sand and the offspring of your body like its grains. Their name would not be cut off or eliminated from my presence. The problem was they hadn't listened and they had let go of what God had told them. In this time in history, the people of God had totally rejected the law of God. They had rejected the commands of God. They had rejected the instruction of the Lord. They had not held on to what they knew was true and righteous and holy. And instead, they just let go of it and did what they wanted to do. And that put them on a path that was not a good path. In fact, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 5, we can see that they just let go of what God gave them. Isaiah 5:24, therefore as a tongue of fire consumes straw and as dry grass shrivels in the flame, so their roots will become like something rotten and their blossoms will blow away like dust. For they have rejected the instruction of the Lord of armies. They didn't hold on to it. And they have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. And because they did that, it put them on a path of pain, a path of suffering, a path of tragedy. Because they did not hold on to the instruction they had received, because they did not listen to their guide, they ended up at a destination they never wanted to be at. You see, it's possible to end up on the wrong path due to our ignorance. I've been on that path before. I've gotten on paths that weren't the right path just because I was ignorant. But you know what? If we're honest, most of the time it's not our ignorance, it's our arrogance that gets us on the wrong path. Because we think we know better than God. We think we know better than that old-fashioned Bible book that everybody talks about and wants me to read. But golly, it was written so long ago, it can't have much to say to me today. We think we know better than our parents and our grandparents. That's not ignorance, that's arrogance. We think we know better than our Sherpas who are trying to get us to the summit, so we press on because we know better. We don't hold on to the wisdom and the instruction we have received. We let it go. And then we end up on a path we don't want to be on. It's why I'm telling you, we all need to listen and we all need to learn from our guide. The Spirit is our guide. God's Word is our guide, and we need to listen and hold on to it. Don't let it go. Even if there's a shiny TV on sale, don't just better hold on. Okay. Number two, we got to guard it. We got to guard it, not just hold it, but we got to guard it. Guarding it's a little bit different than holding it. The Hebrew word here for holding on to it means to hold on strongly with great intent, to take hold of something. The Hebrew word for guard here is a little bit different. It's used about 60 times in Scripture, and it's a very serious word. It's a word that can be used in a variety of ways, but it basically means to watch something closely. We might say today, keep a close eye on it. Keep a close eye on it. It's used like this in Proverbs 13, the one who guards, keeps a close eye on his mouth, protects his life. The one who opens his lips invites his own ruin. Or Psalms 141, which says, Lord, set up a guard for my mouth. Watch it closely, Lord. Keep watch at the door of my lips. Another example would be Nahum 2:1, which says, one who scatters is coming up against you. Man the fortifications. Watch the road. Keep a close eye on it. Brace yourself. Summon all your strength. The idea is that you are watching something with the intent to protect it. You're keeping a close eye on it in order to protect it. Our text teaches us that to walk a straight path, we have not to only hold on to the instruction of the Lord, but we've got to guard it. We've got to keep a close eye on it. And there's a reason for that. And it's an important reason. Look at verse 13 again. Hold on to instruction. Don't let go. Guard it, for it is your life. That's the reason we hold on to it and we guard it. It is your life. That sounds important. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, oh, come on, Pastor. I'm not going to die if I don't listen to God. I'm not going to die if I don't listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to die if I don't listen to my guide. I mean, I'm not going to die just because I didn't listen once or twice or got on a path that I knew I probably shouldn't go down. Well, you know, that's exactly what Sharia thought, too. She died 800 feet from camp. It also sounds exactly like what the devil told Eve in the garden. You remember that? No, you will certainly not die, he told her. In fact, God knows that when you eat, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. Just eat it. You're not going to die. That's a joke. Church, when God says, trust me, when God says, take me at my word, when God says, hold on to my instruction, when God says, guard my instruction, for this is your life, he ain't messing around. He is being very, very serious. Because if you don't, you will end up with your face in the snow, sucking on an empty bottle of oxygen, wondering, how did I get here? Why am I on this path? Why does it hurt this bad? Why is my life such a mess? Why is this so hard? Well, it's because you didn't hold on and you didn't guard the instruction and the advice that your guide gave you. Any of y'all ever heard of a guy by the name of Franklin P. Jones? Some of y'all are probably old enough to have heard of him. He was popular back in the 40s and 50s. He had this column he wrote. He was a syndicated columnist. It was called Put It This Way. It was in a lot of newspapers. He would find unique and funny ways of looking at things. For example, he would say things like, the problem with being punctual is that no one is there to appreciate it. He's not wrong. Or he would say things like, a fanatic is someone who sticks to their guns whether they are loaded or not. Not wrong. Now, this one is his, ladies. It's not mine. I'm going to read it word for word. His words, okay? He says, all women should know how to take care of children because most of them will have a husband someday. He ain't wrong. Those are funny when you think about them, but he also said a good one about listening and learning. And I think this one really nails the main problem most of us have. He said, one advantage of talking to yourself is that you know at least somebody's listening. See, a lot of us would rather talk to ourselves than talk to God because we're not sure if he's listening or not. But when we talk to ourselves, we know we're listening. I think most of us spend way more time talking to ourselves than we actually do talking to God. A lot of us pray, but when we're praying, we're really just talking to ourselves. We're listening to ourselves. We're coming up with the plan ourselves. We're not really listening to our guide. We talk to ourselves because we know we're listening. We talk to ourselves because it's a whole lot easier to convince ourselves to do something that's wrong than to convince him we should do something that's wrong. We talk to ourselves and we tell ourselves things like, well, nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to know about it. Everybody else is doing it. We tell ourselves whatever we have to tell ourselves so we can go and do whatever we want to do. And then when our life becomes filled with pain and hardship and we find ourselves with a face full of snow, we look up to God and we say, save me. And the reality is, he's been trying to save you the whole time. Been trying to save you since you left camp. I read a quote some time ago by a guy by the name of Stephen Covey. And man, it just cut me to the bone, not because Stephen Covey's a great theological genius, but because in this quote, I immediately saw a scary and profound spiritual reality at that time in my life. I saw that how I was communicating with the Lord was not a biblical way of communicating with the Lord. It was not a healthy way of communicating with the Lord. And it was not an honest way to communicate with the Lord. And honestly, I think this describes most people and how they communicate with the Lord. He said this. He said, most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. That's really the problem with your teenagers. It's not that they don't listen. It's just that they're not listening to you with the intent of understanding. They're listening to you with the intent of replying. They already know what they're going to say. But no matter what you say, they've already got a reply, don't they? I wonder if we look like that to God. Like when we're praying, are we really trying to understand? When we're reading the Bible, are we really trying to understand? Or are we just trying to find a justification, a loophole, a way around it? I mean, this really hurts. It's like, ouch, Stephen, you didn't have to say it like that. But he's right. When we come to the Lord, we're not looking to understand. We're just looking for our opportunity to reply, to tell God what we're going to do and how we're going to do it and that it's going to be okay. Because most of us aren't really interested in understanding God. We're not really interested in understanding the path and the purpose he has for our lives. We're just interested in getting on the path we want to go down. We've already developed our reply. We already have our justifications. We already have our excuses. We already have all of our reasons worked out. And we just need an opportunity to tell him about it before we go and do it. But that's not anything like what we're reading we're supposed to do in Proverbs 4:13. He says, hold on to instruction. Don't let go. Guard it, for it is your life. You see, we all need to listen to and learn from our guide, or we will never walk the kind of path that's described here in our text, where it says, I'm teaching you the way of wisdom. I'm guiding you on straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. That sounds so good, but that doesn't happen if we're not listening to our guide. If that's the kind of path you want to walk or run on, then you got to listen to the guide. Here's the last thing, the third thing that we see here, and this is kind of a negative here, but it's put in kind of a negative. But he says simply this, keep off it. The last part of our text today is a good piece of advice. It's something any good guide will tell you, because a good guide is not just there to keep you on the right path. A good guide is there to keep you off the wrong paths. Think about how you are parenting your children, right? You're not just showing them the best path. You're also saying, don't go on that one, because I went on that one. That one's not good. I've been there. Now, they may not listen to you, but you're trying to keep them off the bad path, aren't you? Because a good guide won't just put you on the right path. A good guide will keep you from going down the wrong path. And so that's what he's saying here. He says there's some you just got to keep off of. We've already talked about this a good bit in our series, so I'm not going to linger here long. But the reality is part of finding the right path is being able to have the wisdom to avoid the wrong ones. And our guide will help us do that if we'll listen to him. Listen to this next part of the verse, verse 14. Keep off the path of the wicked. Don't proceed on the way of evil ones. Avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn away from it and pass it by. For they can't sleep unless they've done what is evil. They're robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. That's some solid advice right there. There are really four main things he tells us to do here, and they come in levels. We're going to do these real quick. The first one is the easiest one, and it's the one we should do. And if we do this one, we don't have to do any of the others. The first one is avoid it. He says avoid the bad paths, the wicked paths. Just don't go down it. Problem solved. Keep off any path that God has already marked with a sign of danger. You know, God has put signs up on a lot of the paths we walk. He says, danger, this is not a good one. Don't go this way. But a lot of us, we look at the sign and we go, probably wouldn't hurt me though. Say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about things like greed, immorality, sexual sin, homosexuality, deceitful thinking, deceitful actions, lying, lust, hate, murder, adultery, idolatry, debt. Things God has already very clearly said, don't go that way. Addictions, right? You don't have to pray, Lord, should I buy the meth? You don't have to pray that prayer. God has already said no. There's some things you don't have to think about or pray about in a spiritual sense because God has already said, that's the wrong path. Avoid it. Don't go down it. You don't have to pray, Lord, should I cheat on my spouse? Would this be okay? Because God has already said no. And you know he's already said no. Right? These are the paths that we should just avoid. Don't walk down them and then problem solved. The problem is we see that and we go, but it's probably not going to hurt me. But it might be fun. I'm just going to give it a try. I'm just going to go a little ways down it. Probably won't hurt anything. But then what happens every time we go down that path? We get hurt and other people get hurt. We can't look at the danger sign and say, well, everybody else is doing it, so I should too. No, he says, avoid it. And if you can find the courage to listen to your guide and just avoid that path altogether, your problem is completely solved. But what if, like so many others, you start down one of those paths, one of those wrong paths? Well, then he says, the second thing, don't keep going down it. This makes really good sense. When you realize you're on the wrong path, stop walking. Don't go any further. Don't walk another step. Don't live on it another day. Don't pretend like it's not a problem another minute. Don't proceed, he says, on the way of evil ones. Stop. You got to stop walking, stop running on the wrong path. And the sooner you do that, the better for you and everybody else around you. And then he says you have to turn away from it. That's the next one. Once you stop and go, this isn't right, then you turn away from whatever path you're on and you reject it and you go a different direction. You turn away from the wrong path in an effort to get back to the right one. We might need to ask God for forgiveness at that point. We might need to ask other people for forgiveness at that point. This is going to be our time of lamenting, our time of confession, our time of repentance, where we are turning away from the wrong path and getting back on the right path. But the bottom line is we turn away from it and we turn back to God. And then this last one is really good. And it's important. He says, pass by it. And I think this is so wise and so important because there's nothing new under the sun. The devil's using all the same tricks he's always used to get all of us on the wrong path. And it's only a matter of time before you're going to come across another opportunity to walk or run down a wrong path. So wise Solomon advises us here. He says, hey, next time pass by it. Avoid it. Don't go down it. Learn from the last time. Listen to your guide this time and just pass right by that path you shouldn't be on. Don't have any part in the wicked or evil paths in life. That's solid advice. Let me close with this. We all need to listen and learn from our guide. You know what the saddest thing about Sharia's story is? She didn't have to die. The Sherpas could have saved her. In fact, they had been trying to save her for over 30 hours when she finally died. They tried to show her a better path. They tried to tell her not to go. They tried to tell her wait another day when the weather will be better, when things will be more favorable for someone in your condition. She was a great climber. She was in the best shape of her life. But they knew she wasn't as strong as she needed to be for that day. For 500 people being on the mountain, for the weather that was going to change, for all the other things, they knew this was going to be dangerous. But she wouldn't listen. The day after she died, the weather was incredible on Everest. One of the best weather days the mountain had ever had. And you know what else? There was almost nobody on the mountain climbing that day because all 500 of those other people had rushed up. There were very few people at Camp 4 waiting to go up on that good weather day. The day her Sherpas wanted her to leave and go. In fact, on that day, all the climbers who went up had to climb over and around her body, which was still clipped to the rope. They passed right by her corpse on the way up. Many people made record times on the way up that day. It was so easy and so clear. It's crazy how different her story would have been if she would have just listened to her guide and waited one more day. There is one big difference between those Sherpas and our guide. Our guide is God. He's the creator of the universe. He doesn't grow weary or faint. He doesn't need sleep or oxygen bottles to sustain his life. And he can pull us out of the pit and save our wretched souls and make us as white as snow at any time he wants to. But like Sharia, you've got to look up and say, save me. You've got to look up and say, Lord, save me. And in that moment, he will. If you believe and if you confess that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That's what the Bible says. If you repent of your sins and give your life to him, you will be saved. But you got to say, save me.
Following the path that God has laid out for you is not always the easiest thing to do. You may feel like you're on your own path, and you like that one better. Maybe it looks better to you than the one that God's directing you toward. What does this all mean? Here on One to Another, Pastor Pete Pavelic is helping you see the value in the path God's leading you on. It sure can have its moments of twists and turns, but he's right there beside you, and he won't let you go. Trust that God's got this. As you've been listening today, we trust that what you're hearing is landing on a soft heart, willing and receptive to hearing God's plan and his will. If this message has been a great encouragement to you, we invite you to listen to even more great teachings from Dr. Pete. You can easily find these teachings at onetoanotherradio.org. While you're there, we'd love for you to be in the know of what's going on in our ministry, as well as upcoming events that Pastor Pete will be speaking at. So go to onetoanotherradio.org to learn more. Before our time ends for today, Gwen has something else to mention about the radio ministry of One to Another. Tell us all about it, Gwen.
Sure thing, Phil. Did you know that One to Another Radio is listener supported? We're so happy to be on the air and for new listeners to be tuning in each and every day. But something we'd like you to be aware of is that it's listeners like you who keep us going in the ministry. That's right. We have people listening in from all over the country. And once they hear about our ministry, they many times feel led to send a donation gift, which helps cover the funding for radio. Would you be interested in coming alongside us and partnering with us in this way? We would be so blessed by that. All you have to do is send a donation to onetoanotherradio.org. And guess what? If you're new to donating to our ministry this month, we're going to send you a gift of the month. How awesome is that? We can't wait to multiply the blessings that come our way by giving back to our listeners. So once again, head over to onetoanotherradio.org to donate and to learn more about Pastor Pete and the ministry going on here. Thanks for listening, and here's Phil again.
Gwen, we're glad you shared that information. In case any of our listeners missed that website, it's onetoanotherradio.org. Thanks so much for joining us today. Pastor Pete will be back with another solid teaching from God's Word next time on One to Another.